Hello there, and welcome to Odessa First Assembly's weekly podcast, where we bring you the heart of our Sunday message. I'm Tony, your host and the face behind our digital ministry. We're excited to dive into today's sermon, exploring the Word of God together. So grab your coffee, find a comfy spot, and let's embark on this journey of faith. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
If you have your Bible, it's on the book of John, John chapter 15. We're closing a series this morning. It's been nine weeks, and but I think each week has been special. And just a quick announcement, this may come to a surprise for some, and that's the reason why I'm making this announcement. We had planned a leadership meeting this afternoon, and we're going to postpone that. And for that reason, that my week went a little wonky this week. Anybody's week's ever gone wonky? That's a theological word for crazy. So we'll reschedule that and get back together. And but I really am grateful. I just believe that there's a new season for Odessa First Assembly in our church, and I think a lot of breakthroughs coming. And so hold on, hold on. I think I want you to hear this. I really believe this is a word of the Lord. There's some of you been holding on for a long time. Breakthrough's coming. I mean, I want you to hear the voice of the Spirit. Breakthrough's coming. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing well, for in due season, you'll reap a harvest. It's worth it to hold on and to stay faithful. It's worth it. John chapter 15 is where we're looking this morning, and as I said, we're closing up. There were eight I am statements, but really focused in on seven of them. And so we're going to close that this morning. We have talked about we talked about an absolute. Everybody know what absolute means, right? Absolute statement where Jesus said, I am before Abraham was, I am, John 8:58, and the importance of that. And then we went through metaphorical statements of where Jesus was making an illustration and really revealing himself to those around him. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. He said, I'm the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life that we talked about last week. And this week, we're going to talk about that Jesus is the true vine. And so turn with me to John chapter 15. We're going to read the first few verses there, and then we're going to pray. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown in the fire and burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for just the work of your Spirit in our lives, and we pray that, Lord. We pray that once again, that our hearts would be good soil, ready to receive your word, that you do that work in us, whatever needs to be done. We pray in the name of Jesus, amen. So here we see Jesus, an interesting one. I am the true vine. And when you go through this passage, there's so much, really you could take this, I mean, these verses, actually all the way, maybe even through 11 and beyond, and almost have like an 11-week series. I mean, you could take each verse and really break this apart. We're going to look like, you know, we're cruising at 64,000 feet and going to take a look at this, but we're going to focus in on a few things. But in this, and like verse 4, I mean, you see it twice, abide in me and I in you. You see in verse 5, abide in me as I abide in him. Jesus say, abide in me as I abide in the Father. And then it even gives us warnings about those that do not abide, that they're going to wither, that they're going to be thrown into the fire. Verse 7, abide in me and may my words abide in you. And all of these are very powerful statements. And so as we have done with everything, I kind of want to set the scene just a little bit, because we understand to apply scripture to us today, we have to understand the context in which scripture was written. That's so important. We got to understand what the message was in the first century for us to have to apply the correct message today. And so there's what is happening here, right? We've been going through all of John, and last week it kind of built up. You remember last week we talked about, I mean, Jesus kind of really brought it down to him and said, hey, listen, there are some things that's going to happen and you can't follow me where I'm going. And Judas is going to betray me and Peter's going to deny me. And this really shook up the disciples. And then he begins in chapter 14, let your hearts not be troubled. And so all of this is taking in the upper room. It's the last Passover or the last, the supper. And so this is happening. They have just now come out of the upper room. So they've just come out, they finished their meal, and they've come down, and this is where chapter 15 begins, and they're actually on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, if you remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's where Jesus, you know, he takes three of the disciples and he begins to pray and he goes back to them and they're asleep. He says, can you not tarry with me 1 hour? And he says, you know, the flesh is weak, but the spirit's willing. And he goes to pray and he's interceding and Jesus prays, you know, if this cup could pass from me, but not my will, your will, Lord. And this is where the arrest is about to happen. And so they are walking by the temple complex, right? Because the temple's still standing at the time, and they're walking by, and all reality for Jesus to say, I am the true vine, on the temple complex, there was a sculpture of grapevines with grapes. And so in all reality, we don't know for sure, but probably most likely Jesus is walking by and sees the sculpture and he says, I'm the true vine. So are you with me so far? Isn't that good stuff to know? And so he's walking by, he sees the sculpture, and he says, I am the true vine. And this is significant. Listen, I'm not going to take the time to do it this morning, but really Isaiah chapter 5, the first part of Isaiah, you might want to jot that down in your notes. But Isaiah chapter 5 really gives us a description that connects with John chapter 15, talking about the vine and the branches. And like I said, I don't have time to go that deep this morning. You might want to read that for yourself, but there is a connection there between John 15 and Isaiah chapter 5. But what we know throughout the Old Testament is that Israel is often portrayed as the vineyard of God. And it was a familiar picture. And when Jesus talked in these terms of grapevines and branches, I mean, we may not get the cultural context, but those that were listening to Jesus and what he was saying, they knew exactly what he was saying. And as he was saying this, he's talking about, you know, God's spiritual fulfillment, but he is making a point. He's saying, this is not going to happen through Abraham, it's going to happen through me. And I want to focus on this morning more than anything about abide. About abide. Our key verse is going to be verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. But I want to start with verse 1. It's very simple. Verse 1, remember we're going 64,000 feet right now. We're cruising along. I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. That's really actually pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it's Jesus, God's Son, the Son of God. He's saying he's the vine, but he's saying that God is the one that judges everything and he's the vine dresser. He's the one taking care of it all. This is all of God's plan in action. And then we pick up in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. I mean, I want you to process that. He's saying if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be taken away. But you would think for those that do bear fruit, man, there's going to be a party and a celebration. I mean, wouldn't you think that's what it would say? But it doesn't say that, does it? He says he prunes those that bear fruit. Yeah, y'all just got real quiet now, didn't you? That it may what? Bear more. So right away, what we need to have understanding is what is this fruit? And I'm going to tell you there are some, to me in my mind, I mean, this is just maybe on my little soapbox, so just give me a little grace. But I mean, there's some believe that this fruit has to do with just people getting saved and souls. I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that is because a verse, many verses, but one in particular that Paul writes, he says, some plant and some water, but God makes the increase. Am I familiar with that verse? Listen, and when people come to the Lord, I believe it is fruit. So I'm not saying that's not what it means. I mean, it means more than that, but I'm not the one that saves people. I'm just called to go tell them about Jesus. Are you following me? It's God that's got to make the increase. But when people get saved, that can be fruit. But I also think it means the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about that more in the coming weeks. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And when we bear that fruit, we are giving honor and worship to God. I believe if you look in the specific context of John chapter 15, I think it may even focus on love a little more than all of three. Why? Because he says, people, listen, a few verses down, he says, people will know your love for me by your love for one another. And so I think it's all, but the reality is, I think maybe we need to worry about the fruit. The Bible says, you know, repent and bear fruit. The Bible says we know them by their fruit. We know that's important. But I'm going to tell you, if you abide, the fruit takes care of itself. If you abide, the fruit takes care of itself. So to me, when I read this, what I want to understand and what I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me is how to abide. I just got goosebumps. That wasn't even in my notes. Ooh, I like them. So we they're past the temple complex. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. But listen to me, the grapevine, like I said, I know there's some place by Lubbock that, it's really not our culture. We don't understand, vineyards that much. But I want you to listen to me. I mean, when he's talking in these terms, I want you to get this mental picture in your head that in a grapevine, it's really a prolific plant. I mean, it's just amazing what it does. I mean, from its base of how the vines can grow and how far they can extend. Matter of fact, some 20 feet they can grow out. And we also know that grapes in the Old Testament represent fruitfulness, which you read in Isaiah chapter 5. And so we're talking about these vines that are carefully cared for. But I want to focus in a little bit more in verse 2. You see, the Bible says in our text that every branch that does bear fruit, he what? He prunes. Do we all understand what pruning is? I mean, when you prune something, you're cutting away. You're removing. I've got a big old pile of branches in my backyard of my pecan tree. I just prune back. I just cut back. And I do that hoping I can get more pecans if I could get rid of a stupid squirrel. But anyway, Or we had another dog, and I always had pecans because that dog would go after the squirrels. We have another dog now that he would literally lay there on our patio furniture while the squirrels are running the tree, running off with my pecans. I'm like, you are a worthless dog. Go after the squirrels. But Isaiah 48:10 tells us this, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. You see, God's promises to produce through your trials something that is more valuable than gold. And here's exactly what it is: Christ-like character. You see, it is God's mission, part of his mission and his goal, to shape us and to form us into the image of his Son. We are called to be Christ-like. Matter of fact, Christian was a derogatory term first given to believers in the city of Antioch in the New Testament. And what it was to symbolize is, oh, those are those little Christs. So that's where even Christian comes from. But it is God's mission to mold us and to shape us into the character of his Son. I'm not saying he makes us little Christ. I'm saying he molds us into the image of his Son. Are you following me? And so there are times that you, listen to me, when you go through the trial and you go through the hardship and you go through the brokenness and you go through those times in life, what you need to know, it's not that God has given up on you. It's not that the hell and the devil is winning. God may be working a pruning process in you so that you bear more fruit. Listen to me, church. So you can't get the message without making the mistake sometimes. You can't get the healing without there being hurt. You can't have the provision if you never experience lack. You can't go through reconciliation if you've never had the offense. And I'm not telling you to go mess up. I'm not telling you to go offend somebody, but if you've lived life long enough, you've been through that. Hello? And so what does God do? He begins with brokenness. Brokenness. And I have illustrated this so many times in so many ways, and in really all of my years of ministry. But listen to me, when you go through affliction and you go through that process, you go through that trial or that tribulation, listen, I'm gonna tell you that our flesh is prideful. Now don't shut me down when I'm preaching good right now. Our flesh is prideful. Our flesh, man, I can just do this on my own, right? But brokenness is God taking that hard rock and bringing some brokenness. We know the scripture talks about, that's why every single week I pray that our hearts be what? What do I pray every single week? Our hearts be what? Good soil. Why? Because we want to be able to receive. But if our hearts are hard in an area, it's going to be hard to put a seed in that area. Are you following me? And so we go through affliction many times to humble us, to break us, to get us ready for what about God's about to do. So don't fall for the lie that the enemy tries to sell you that God, see, what the enemy does, he wants you to believe that God is not as good as what God says he is, and that is a lie from the enemy. And so when you go through something, come on, somebody, when you go through something difficult, the enemy immediately says, you're going through that because God doesn't care about you. You're going through that because God doesn't love you. And that's not the case. You're going through that because God's going to use it for something better and greater. And so we go through that brokenness. Jeremiah says, it's not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And then we find the crucible. You may not know what a crucible is. A crucible is a something that it melts that ore, right? It's that pot. I don't know if you've seen this on online, and it may, you know, sometimes you're watching YouTube and then you go in the rabbit hole. Anybody know? There's some of you know what I'm talking about. And I, for some reason in my algorithm, what I get is these guys that melt aluminum and then pour them in anthills. Yep. Anybody seen that, right? Okay, you're gonna go home and thank you, Skip. You know, leave me alone up here. But you know, that crucible, what it does, it melts down that ore. It melts it down in there. And so the refiner takes those broken pieces. I wish that it just stopped at the breaking, but God's doing something significant in you. And so he's got to melt us down just a little bit more. And there's a reason why. And so he puts that ore in there. The Bible says, Psalm 17:3, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests the heart. And so he puts us in that crucible, and I hate to say it this way, but he turns the heat up in the kitchen. But what happens in that process after that breaking and you're in that crucible is the dross begins to come up to the top. You know what the dross is? The dross is those impurities in our life. And what happens when you put precious metal in that crucible and you put it in the fire, the impurities start to come up. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 24:5, take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. If only I had time to walk you through the New Testament that where it tells us that we are vessels for the use of the Lord. But see, the Bible also tells this. If you've heard me preach at any given time on this, you've heard me use these two verses, but it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. And what you read is that Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, and he says that in a house, there's noble utensils and ignoble utensils. And what he means by that, there are nice utensils that, well, you know, there's the wedding china, and then there's paper plates. Are you following me? I mean, when it's my turn to do dishes, we use paper plates. And so there's this fine utensils and there's not so fine utensils. And the Bible says, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, that God's going to use him. And you know, and about that verse and that promise, it doesn't say that God's going to do it. He's going to put you in the fire. You know what it says? If the man does it. So what happens is you get in the fire and then you see a chink in your character. Amen? Are you following? You may not want to say amen to that, but your spouse thinks you're perfect and you just want to keep it that way. But you get in those moments and maybe things come out of you and you're like, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I responded that way. I can't believe, right? And so what the Lord is doing, he's doing something in us. He's showing us what's in our heart. And then we have to make a decision. Lord, I don't want that in my life. Let's just scoop that off to the side. Let's just get rid of that. But that dross, those trials we go through. And then because the heat is the next step. The refiner raises the temperature. The Bible says in Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. And that heat is the trial. That heat is the affliction. That heat is the difficulty. That heat is the valley that we go through. And that's what brings that fire to bring the dross up that we can go through purification. And step five is pure. Each time the refiner, we go and those layers of dross come through, and silver and gold, they become more precious. I mean, do you know, you realize that gold, the more pure it is, the more translucent and the more pliable it becomes. And so if you in our wedding bands or wherever you may use gold, they add impurities to make it harder. But what is God's goal for us? He wants us clear and pliable in his hands. I mean, let's walk through a few verses. Are you with me this morning? Let's walk through a few verses in 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. We don't celebrate or rejoice. It's not like, woo, God, I'm in the trial now. I mean, that's not necessarily what you do know is what's going to happen after the trial. And you can rejoice in that. So that tested genuineness of faith, more precious than gold, perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter writes a lot about this. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. It seems like every significant trial I've ever been through has blindsided me. But scripture tells me, don't be surprised. God's working a greater good in us. I love this part of this verse. As though something strange were happening to you. Friend, you're not above it. It don't matter how long you've been saved. It don't matter your culture. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic. It doesn't matter how much is your bank account. Friend, we're going to go through stuff. We're going to go through trials. And either as we face those things, we can either let the enemy have roughshod over us and have his way, or we can know God's going to do something in us that we bear more fruit. 1 Peter 5:10, and after you've suffered a little while, everybody say little while, because that's what we always want to hope, right? After you suffered a little while, it didn't say you might suffer. It didn't say you possibly will suffer. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, what will he do? He will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He's going to increase the fruit in your life. The act of pruning, it appears harsh. The vine dresser cuts back lush, growing leaves and branches. But the wise gardener knows that sometimes what looks good, it's got to be cut back to produce what's right. I hope some of y'all just heard that. Because I don't know if I'm going to repeat it again, because it wasn't in my notes either. God's pruning of our lives can be painful, and he may limit achievements, objects, platforms, but he's doing it for your good. Why? Because it's important to him that each of us bear fruit. John 14:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much. Anybody want to bear much fruit? It is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So listen to me. We're kind of going to bring it back to something very simple, to something maybe most of us or a lot of us learned in Sunday school. But as much as we know these answers, it's amazing to me of how much we don't do it, or how much we don't practice. And I'm going to tell you, so I'm going to give you a few things on how to abide. On how to abide, because I believe that's more the focus of this passage than anything. So how do you abide? How do you abide in him so that you can bear much fruit? How do you abide in him so that you don't dry up and wither? You read. You read. I know, right? I know it's like Sunday school simple, right? You read. And I'm not trying to to bring condemnation. I'm not trying to, or anything like, but I know this, the Bible says in John 6:63 that his words are spirit and they are life. If I am not looking at what's in these pages, I am not going to find that fullness of life. It's in these pages that I read that I may be struck down and I may be knocked down. And you know, 2 Corinthians 4, right? But I am not destroyed. It's in this book that I read in Ephesians 2:10 that I am his workmanship, that I'm his masterpiece. It's in this book right here that I find scriptures like Matthew 11:28 that says, come to me, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and you'll find rest. It's in these pages that I find Philippians 4:7 that he will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, and only in him am I going to find the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's only in this book, church. I'm not telling you, you don't gotta know every address and chapter and verse. You just gotta know his word to find those promises. You gotta read. It's not enough for you to hear it from me week after week. It's not enough from a podcast. It's not enough from YouTube or a channel on television. You've gotta be a partaker of yourself. You find the bread in here. You find life in here. We don't worship this book, but we know in this book we find the God that we do worship. Read. The next thing is worship. Because remember, you know, read. He says, if my word abides in you. Right, that's what we read in John 15. If my word abides in you, worship. John, I want you to look at John 15:8. By this my Father is, everybody say glorified. Glorified. I'm gonna tell you, worship is part of how you abide. I'm gonna tell you when we, and you know, it's worship is so much more than a song. Some of you don't know this, but at 10:30, we start some songs. Oh, I said it, I'm sorry. We sing some songs together, and we call that worship. Listen, that's so important. I'm gonna tell you, I know maybe men or maybe especially, I don't know. I've never had that issue because I know that when I lift up the name of Jesus, that all men will be drawn unto him. I know that I will lift up Jesus, that it builds a throne for his presence. I know it happens when I worship. And I'm gonna tell you, I know that you may feel a little awkward, and I know that we all come from different backgrounds, but there is something about that surrender of just lifting our hands and closing our eyes and to worship. A worship leader shouldn't have to tell you to clap. A worship leader shouldn't have to tell you to press in. A worship leader shouldn't have to tell you to look at the screen and see the words on the screen. I'm gonna tell you to worship. Our vocal cords need to vibrate and us declare the goodness of God. And so to abide, we worship. But worship's more than a song. Worship is how we live. Worship is how we walk it out. And listen, nobody expects perfection, not even God. There's only one that was perfect, and that is Jesus. Did you know that? Listen, you may mess up once, twice, three times. Don't give up. The Bible says the righteous falls seven times, but he gets back up. And so get back up, but listen to me. It is the way we live out all of this. When we're like, okay, Lord, I want you to put me in that. I know it's an odd prayer to pray. Lord, put me in that furnace that we can remove that dross, that I can just shine you. Because when we are purified and the purer and purer we become, the more see-through we become and the more we reflect Jesus. And so we worship and then we pray. We pray, John 7, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what does it say? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 16, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask in my Father, in my name, he may give to you. Listen, to abide, we need to pray. Listen, you ain't got to pray in King James English. You don't have to pray poetically. You don't have to pray with eloquent words and like some great orator. God just wants a conversation. He just wants you to talk to him. And I'm going to tell you, he wants more than just a lay me down to sleep prayer. And he wants more than just a quiet bow of the head when you're eating a meal. God wants a conversation. You're his child. Now, I don't know about you. I can't speak for everybody. And I've been openness about my life and things with my family, but listen to me. I know whenever my kids have something to tell me, I want to hear it. And when they come in and say this happened or that happened or I accomplished this or I did that or I have this problem or that problem, I want them to have all of my attention. And you know what the Bible says? That me as an earthly father, if I want that for my kids, how much more he wants it for me. The Lord just wants to hear from you. Yeah, it's okay sometimes to just give that shout of help. Right? Hey, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I've been in situations, right, where, Lord, throw the line, throw the lifesaver. We got to have those times in prayer, but I'm going to listen to me. Listen to me. As much as we need to establish a daily habit and discipline of reading the Word of God, we need to establish a discipline in having a conversation with God. You know, in a conversation, it's not much of a conversation if I step up to Angela and I have something I want to tell her and then I just dump it all out and then walk away and not wait for her to respond. Right? You know what a conversation is, right? It's two-way. And so many times we come to the Lord and we do the dump. We back up the dump truck and boop, 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 boop. You know, there it is, God. And then we walk away. He's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's just important to listen. You're in that prayer time as it is to bring every need to the Lord. And so we pray. The fourth thing that we do to abide is that we obey. John chapter 15 and verse 10. The worship team would come and get ready or whoever's going to come to the platform. John chapter 15 verse 10. If you keep my commandments... If you keep my commandments, are we on the same page? Does it say that on the screen? Okay. If you keep my commandments, what does it say you'll do? You're going to pray, you're going to read, and you're going to worship. You're going to abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the scripture tells us that Jesus only said what he heard from his Father. And he only did what he saw from the Father. And he says, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I want you to abide in me. And it begins with what? If you keep my commandments. John chapter 15, verse 17. These things I command you so that you will love one another. And I know we live in a time and a day and an age and a culture. Here's what it really comes down to, right? We want all the good things of God without having to do what he says. You know, what the Lord wants from us is for us to be in right relationship with him and right relationship with one another. That's why he said the two greatest commandments are what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. And then what do? We love our neighbor as ourself. We love our neighbor as ourself. And the reality is, you may be in this room, and I've been stagnant at times in my, I have now, it's so weird to talk in this way, I have now been in full-time ministry for 28 years. And as much as I celebrate that, it's just weird. It's just, because the one thing about the older you get is you don't think you're old. Everybody else thinks you're old. But I say that to say this, in those 28 years, have I been stagnant? Absolutely. Have I moved backwards at times? Absolutely. Have I got things wrong sometimes? Absolutely. And I know this is going to shock, and it may even cause you to look a little less at me, but did you know that even sometimes I sin? I do. I fall short. But I know this, if I'm abiding, I'm changing. If I'm abiding, I'm changing. That, I think that statement carries a whole lot more weight than maybe what I feel like it was received a little bit, but if I'm abiding, then I'm changing. Because if I'm abiding, you know what there is going to be? There's going to be fruit. And that fruit's going to represent itself in souls. That fruit's going to represent itself in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. That fruit's going to show itself by walking in what the Lord wants for my life and not what I want for my own life. That fruit's going to show itself in so many ways. And so the adverse is true, right? That if you've gone through it, if you look back over your last 5 years, if you look back over your last 10 years, if you look back over your last 20 years, and there hasn't been a shift, and there hasn't been a change, my question would be, or my statement would be, is have you really abided? Have you really abided? Because if you're in the shelter of the Almighty and you abide in the shadow of his wings, you're not going to walk out of that moment the way you walked in. Right? You're not going to walk out the way that you walked in. I'm going to ask you to stand very quickly this morning.
Thanks for joining us on this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more inspirational messages. Connect with us on social media at Odessa First AG. And if you'd like to support our ministry, visit odessafirstassembly.com/giving. Until next time, stay blessed.